Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. We're back. It's been a few weeks and I guess it's time to give the people what they want. I've heard some people out there that have been like, what's been going on? You guys haven't had a podcast in a while. So we're back. It's me and Kyle and we're here.
Yes. And you just told me right before we started, like, hey, it's just two of us. I don't have to mute you. And then I just saw you unmuted me like, oh, just bad habit, I guess, right?
It's just... got to start it the way I normally start it. I got to find the rhythm back.
I thought, oh man, I've reached a new level of trust with Damon. He's not going to mute me, assuming I'm going to cough in the mic during the intro music.
All right. It's not about trust. It's that we haven't done this in a while, yeah. So I need to find my rhythm again.
Falling into patterns.
Yeah. If I change too much stuff, then it's going to, I don't know, it's going to go all off right, the rails right. Or something.
Okay. Next week, I'm expecting a different intro.
So it has been a few weeks since we last recorded a podcast, and you know it is a little different now since Brett isn't in the office regularly. So we are just trying to figure out what our new rhythm is, and you know we want to throw it out there like usual. If you have something that you want to share, or if you have some availability, we would love to have more guests on the podcast. Otherwise, you guys are stuck hearing me and Kyle.
Yeah, and we're flexible. We can try to work around schedules. So. Don't let that be the deciding factor.
Yeah, so it's been a few weeks, and a couple weeks ago, Kyle actually gave a message, and he did such a good job preparing and putting his time into it that he got sick afterwards. So that's one of the reasons that we didn't record last week, but yeah. I wanted to give Kyle a little bit of a chance to be able to share if he had anything that he didn't have time for in his message that he wanted to highlight or point out. So,
yeah, I mean, there's always stuff that you kind of pare down or take out. I picked that passage. Pastor Barry asked me, oh, these several weeks are available. This is back several months ago. And that one, I'm like, oh, I think that one would be a good one for me to do. As I'm going through it, I'm like, oh man, there's so much I could do, like a whole series on each one of those first three verses that I emphasized. And then I thought, okay, yeah, but you can't do that. So just kind of brings a little bit of each one. And I thought it was good. It's interesting. I am a thinker. I'm more heady in a sense. So I was actually asking Pastor Barry recently, even yesterday, that, hey, can you give me some feedback? I forgot to ask him last week some feedback in my message. And he's like, yeah, no, it was good. Just bring in some of that heart connections, like your own personal stories. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I found some stuff. I was struggling, like, okay, what connections do I have personally to share? But then afterwards I thought, I heard somebody share something, and then I like, oh yeah, I could have done that. Why didn't I think of that? So one thing was just, I think it was just tying in with that, the pull of the worldly system. Like, I think sometimes we're around systems and structures and things in life where that's just life. So we're so used to it and inundated with it that it's just, I don't really have a choice. That's just the way life operates. And I did think of one, because I see this with parents and sports stuff. And we went through this, and some of it was intentional choices, and some were just actually good byproducts of how things played out. But mainly with our kids, they got involved in soccer and baseball. But both leagues that we were emphasizing from a young age were not Sunday driven. They were Saturday, pretty much Saturday only. So AYSO, Saturday only, and some midweek practices. And the baseball league, we had no lights, and it was on a church campus, so they didn't have Sunday games. So it was Saturday and some midweek practices. And I was thinking back, and I thought, well, did we just luck into that? Was that just happenstance? And I actually remember when our kids were younger, I felt like that was a conscious choice. Like, oh, this is a type of league that fits us, that I would want to be at. And kind of fast forwarding, so the part I was going to share was then fast forwarding, especially Ezra with his soccer, he kind of got into like a higher level with AYSO, and then their team decided to move to club. And when I heard that, I thought, oh shoot, that's going to be a big conflict. I don't want to be pulled away from church on weekends. And we told our kids, like, our Sundays, we don't do that kind of stuff. It's not a day for that. In general, I mean, we do make some exceptions, so we're not like super legalistic about it, but I felt that tension. He got asked, you know, their team to move on, and then the coach said, okay, everybody needs to reply. Yeah, do you want to go with us or not? And I asked Ezra, and he goes, yeah, I want to keep playing with my team. He had good chemistry and a good situation. And I felt like, oh, but there's probably going to be Sunday games, so I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. So I'm going to have to set some boundaries with the coach and say, mm-hmm. these are what we can do going forward, but that means you might not be on the team. Are you okay with that? And he's like, yeah, no, because we're supposed to be at church, and that's an important thing for us and our family. So he recognized that. So I'm like, okay, I just want you to be aware that I don't know how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. Luckily for us, our coach is he's family focused, and he understands faith and school, like kids' priorities. So family things, your faith, and then school. He's not religious that I know of, but he understands that those are a priority for different people. So I sent him a long email or text and explained, like, for the most part, anything that's Sunday morning, we're not going to be able to make. So I understand if that is a conflict and you need a player that's available, then that's okay. We just won't be able to do it. And it was cool. He wrote me a reply like, no, I totally understand. Just come whenever you can. And so it's been a couple of years, and there's been a little bit of pressure. Like, they've pushed in a little bit of like, hey, we can pick him up. Like, we can come get him. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate that. Like, on a Sunday morning, you know, mm-hmm. like, But it's for him too. It's not just that we can't get him there. It's like, mm-hmm. we want him to actually be at church too. So it's good, but it's, I think I wanted to share it just because I still feel tension with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I still want him to be there. And sometimes I feel bad, like, oh, they're shorthanded a little bit, but I'm like, well, but what's my conviction? And if I bend it here and keep bending it, then where do I end up? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, yeah, I probably could have shared that. It might have been good, but I thought, okay, that's good. I have a podcast. I can share it there too. But I do know, and I see the tension at our church, because mm-hmm. we didn't grow up with basketball. Or I did when I was younger, but our kids haven't. But mm-hmm. then coming to Catalyst, and like, it's like generations have been in like these different leagues mm-hmm. that operate on Sundays. And so then in some ways it's like, well, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of just grow up with it, then you don't see it differently. But me from the outside, it's like, oh, that's a very strong kind of worldly system pull of mm-hmm. like, that's what Sundays can look like or be like. So so I just wanted to share a little bit of my journey as a parent with that, with our kids, and setting back. And so we've done some Sunday afternoon games when they fit our schedule. And so I'll share this just to be like full transparency, that we do make exception for like the season ending tournament, because that mm-hmm. one has more ramifications, and we feel like that's to be a good teammate, because that one actually you either move on or you don't, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's not fair to their teammates. So for that one, so we kind of like, okay, there's might be one or two weekends at the mm-hmm. at the end of the season that, okay, we'll adapt for those. But the other ones, like, he actually has one this coming Sunday, and I'm like, oh, another kid broke his wrist this last weekend, so now they're going to be down to maybe one sub or no subs. And I'm like, part of me was like, oh, I feel bad, but I'm like, well, I don't know. It's just being real. Like, it's not that it's easy, but at the same time, I'm like, I have to be careful of the boundaries and the messaging I'm sending to my kids, because mm-hmm. I do feel like they're getting that rooted inside them, like, oh no, Sundays are different. Like, mm-hmm. it's different than what the world sees them as.
Yeah, setting boundaries is not an easy thing, but kind of like you shared in your message, it's really important for us to be able to set healthy boundaries, because that's where we're able to foster an atmosphere of love. Because mm-hmm. it's very easy to love, to feel like we're loving, and then it goes too far, and then it becomes mm-hmm. unloving because it's too far, right? Mm-hmm. And so we do need to have the healthy boundaries. It's cool. One of the things that I've been reading this book by Dr. Caroline Leaf. I was actually
I just ordered it. It's supposed to come tomorrow, I think.
It was actually referred by Kerry Fujishima, and it's about our mind and how the Lord designed our mind. And
what's the title of it again?
Oh, what is the title? It's called Switch on Your Brain.
Mm.
Yeah, Switch on Your Brain. So kind of the premise is that the way that the world system is set up, it creates a lot of toxic thinking in people. And that toxic thinking actually leads to certain levels of brain damage.
Mm.
And so her kind of premise is that we don't have to be a victim of that or be a victim of our genetics, but we can actually heal.
Mm.
Our brains can heal. We can change. We have free will. And so we can make choices that will lead
like
to
physiological change. Like
yes.
Healing. Like,
yes.
Huh.
So, yeah. So she, one of the premises that she talks about is that when God created us, we were created for love and to experience the fruit of the Spirit. But after sin entered the world and the enemy started spewing his lies and people mm-hmm. started to believe his lies, that there was a toxic thinking that kind of permeated humanity.
Mm.
And so because of that toxic thinking, we weren't actually designed to have that. And so it creates physical damage in our brain.
Mm.
And so the cool thing is that the way that the Lord designed our brains and ourselves, that there's healing that can happen, but there are certain things that need to, certain choices that need to be made, certain things that we were created to think about that we need. And so when we do those things, we can find healing and then we don't have to be stuck in toxic thinking forever.
Mm.
But it's really cool because the book, the author is a Christian. She's a strong Christian. So one of the things that she talks about is science is finally catching up to the Bible.
Mm.
So some of the things that the Bible talks about and some of the ways that the Bible instructs us to think or what to think about, or even, you know, we've talked about on the podcast, Romans 12, to renew our minds. She says that's possible.
Mm.
And so it's cool because the book, there's a lot of hope, but it really focuses on what it looks like to be able to heal our brain in a physiological sense. Like there's actual damage that happens when we go to these toxic thinking places, and there's actual healing that can be gained through certain practices or certain choices that we make. But one of the things that she talks about is it's important for us to have healthy boundaries in our thinking, because sometimes we allow ourselves to go down some of these toxic spirals.
Mm.
And when we do that, it's actually causing physical brain damage in our in our mind. And so...
So like damage in the sense that it's just your brain then it isn't operating the way it's intended and it's harming it, or it actually is like killing cells or like...
Yeah, so certain... She talks about like certain connections between neurons and things like that are supposed to be functioning healthy. They don't function. So it disconnects certain parts of your brain that should be connected or things like that. And so she talks about, yeah, there's actual physical stuff that happens to your brain when we think like that. But the cool thing is that we don't have to be stuck there. And that...
But for her, the setting boundaries so you don't go there is an important element towards that, and then even towards the healing aspect then too, is that...
Yes. Yeah, so the setting boundaries helps us to not create more damage, but then it also sets us into this place of kind of an awareness that we're going down that path and that it's leading to that, and that we can choose to turn around and choose to go to a place of healing, go to a place of wholeness.
Mm.
And that's how we were created. So yeah, it's really cool because she's definitely a strong believer. And yeah, afterwards I was like, wow, this book has so much hope in it.
Mm.
And it's so grounded in the word, but it's also grounded in science and what she's learned as a researcher and through her practice of helping people. You know, she's talked about just different people with some, you know, she says you're not a victim of your genetics. You're not a victim of the situation that you're in, but it's going to take work and you're going to have to make certain choices, but you can find healing. You can find happiness. You can find joy.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's cool, but it really piggybacks off of what you were talking about in terms of setting healthy boundaries, because sometimes when we don't set those boundaries, we allow ourselves to go to some of those dark places, and it's actually physically hurting us. Mm. There's a physical, consequence. There's a physical consequence to thinking in those ways, in those patterns.
Yeah, I think even maybe to even not make it so extreme, I don't know if it's even going down to the dark spiral, but even just making those like lack of boundaries or soft boundaries where you drift a little bit, it puts you in a place where then you're already getting the effects of that. So whether you even allow it to go to such a darker or deeper place, like you're already not functioning mm-hmm. the way you should. And so, yeah, because I could see that in my life more. And maybe I don't go to the place where it's that spiral sensation, but more of the floating, drifting, mm-hmm. you know, not because the boundaries have kind of expanded, or not that I'm like crashed over them, but it's like I'm just pushing them further and further. So then it allows me just to kind of float and drift. So,
yeah, kind of like that. It was, you know, there's been seasons where it feels like I'm walking in the fog, but you know, after reading this, and seeing what she's talking about, it's like kind of associating some of those seasons with, you know, lack of boundaries, or, oh, I'm just not taking certain things as serious, or, you know, not as disciplined as normal, or things like that. And it's like, oh, what is that? What's the consequence of that? Oh, it's leading to this fog season, right? Mm-hmm. And then associating with, but when I feel like I'm the most clear, it's when I'm feeling also disciplined, or feeling like I'm making healthy choices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so kind of trying to associate those things together. It's like, okay, I want to make healthy choices, because then it also helps me to feel like I'm moving in a clear headspace and in a healthy place too.
So it's kind of like eating a tiger tail donut or eating an apple. It's like healthy choices.
The tiger tail is so good though.
We had one this morning. Some special guests dropped by with some fresh ones. Oh my gosh. That was so good.
Yeah, they're so good.
But not probably the healthiest choice, but my taste buds really appreciated it. I had to throw that in there. But I just wanted to key in on the choices thing, because I think that's really, it's making healthy choices, and you know, we're trying to get our kids to do that. But then in the midst of trying to see that for our kids, sometimes I just lose focus for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so like, oh yeah, I need to get them online and them, you know, making good choices. But I'm like, how am I doing right now? Because then I'm like, oh, maybe I'm actually not doing that good right now either. I need to actually focus on myself. And I'm allowing these thoughts to kind of take over, or these emotions that are not healthy to be kind of at the forefront, and why, and what's the root of them. And so, yeah, we have to have that. We need self-awareness, but sometimes we can't do it by ourselves. We need other people to point out the things that are going on that they're observing, so that we can make better choices. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'll share one more just boundary that we set up. Actually, this is one that Mimo set up. At first I thought it wasn't necessary for our kids or for our family structure, but then now I'm like, oh, actually there's some benefits to it that I didn't see. And it's, we have a no homework on Sunday policy. Mm. And at first, when our kids were younger, I'm like, yeah, they don't have that much anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But I'm thinking, like, when you get to high school, you kind of have to. Like, that's just the way it is. But as especially Eli's load has gotten heavier, because we established that before, he kind of knows, like, okay, you got to put a lot of work in on Saturday. Mm. And he even does some on Friday night sometimes when he needs to. And then so we had it couple weeks ago where we had some, and so we actually told them, okay, your season has shifted where your load is a lot heavier. Mm-hmm. So we will make exceptions. So we're not going to be that rigid, but if needed. And there was something that happened I can't remember what the circumstances, but I felt like we offered that to him. Hey, Saturday we had other things, and it was kind of out of his control that he didn't have a lot of space. So, hey, if you need to do some on Sunday afternoon, that's fine. And I was actually surprised by his response. He said, no, that's okay. I'm just going to wake up early on Monday before school and do it. Mm. And I thought, this kid doesn't like waking up early. You know, I'm like, wow. But he actually like held on to that more of a value for himself of like, oh no, I don't need to. I can find another way because I don't want to do it on Sunday. And I know a little bit of it is just, you know, the modeling and stuff like that. But I think there's part of it too where he's recognizing for himself, I want to make choices that align according to my faith. So I thought, okay, there's actually some value that I didn't see that coming out of it that, okay, cool. Like, but again, like that's a boundary we set up that could be easily just like, yeah, but who operates like that? Not most people. And does it really matter that much? No, I mean, you can kind of get away from it and it's not that big of a deal. So whether that's what it is for you or not, I wanted to share that one just to point out that they have an effect on your kids. And then by default, like on you as parents, but if you don't have kids and, or even if you don't have a spouse, that you making those things, they impact you and your life, but then also like those you interact with and those around you.
Mm-hmm. So this was your first time speaking as executive pastor. Was it different? I just had to throw that in there.
It was different, but I don't know why. But I had more peace when I was up there. But at times I felt like I'm not sure if this is hitting the way I wanted it to, and it's coming out a little flatter than I thought. And where's the emotional connection? I had these kind of thoughts floating around. But in the past, I think I would have panicked more and felt like I got to rush through this. I just got to get through it because it's not going good. So I didn't have that, which I don't think it's because of that. I just felt like more confident. Well, maybe it was because I think somebody even said, just be who you are and as that role, just operate out of who God made you. And that's part of your role now. So just operate out of it. So I think there was maybe a little bit of that, but I did think it went okay, but it was actually a better experience where I felt a lot better afterwards where I didn't feel like unnecessary weight, baggage that I would put on myself sometimes. So that was different. Yeah. But I did bring in my ultimate closer at the end, and I felt that was going to be the best part of the message, and it was. So Olivia did such a good job, and I knew that was going to bring home the part I really wanted, that for people to take away of, yeah, the first part was teaching, and it was like explaining like the worldly system and trying to point it out. But I knew where I've grown is like, you can't just leave it there. You have to give people, well, what's the path forward? Like what are they supposed to do? And I felt like the second part of the passage was, we just got to stay close to God. Like that's the key. And so when I heard her testimony, I didn't have it at first. And I felt like, oh man, like how am I going to get this to sink in? And when I heard her share or heard about her testimony, I thought, oh, that's going to actually impact people. So yeah, I don't know. What were your thoughts like hearing Olivia's sharing her testimony?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime that we have people share testimonies of what the Lord is really doing in their life and the direction, it hits different than when it's just a teaching or when it's, you know, diving deeper into the Bible, which is always, I'm not saying that those things are bad because they're really good. But at the same time, when we recognize like how God is moving today in certain people's lives, like it hits different. And so when she was sharing that and just the kind of the depth of how it was impacting her, it was like, ooh, this is something that I need to hold on to too. And so, yeah, and it's always good to hear from people that you don't normally hear from also, because there's so many awesome people at our church and it's hard to hear all the different stories of what everyone's going through or what. So, you know, when we recognize one that's highlighted enough that they go up on stage, that it's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. She's one of our regular listeners. So it was good to give her a place to speak too. And Olivia, when you listen to this, just know I used your testimony as an example to one of my kids, because I felt like that the way you shared that part about, well, God kind of knows. God knows what's going on. He knows my heart. And all that's true. And I said that to my kid, that all that's true. And there's that side of God where he's very compassionate and gracious and forgiving and all that. But then when you shared that part, Olivia, that but God wants you to know his heart, I heard that from other people. Like that's what people needed to hear. And I know she didn't share it till the very end, and I was like, actually going to go up and say, hey, but I want you to share. And then she did at the end. I'm like, okay, thank you. Like that was, and actually it was better that she did it at the end, because I think she got that earlier on. And then that whole testimony with what happened at work was actually an outflow of that. So, but I thought the way I think she was maybe avoiding that because she was going to get emotional. So she's like, I'm going to put it at the end. But I thought that was such a great way to close it, because that's really the impact that I wanted to share with my kid. It was like, that's all great too, but God wants us to pursue him. God mm-hmm. wants us to, like, that's where the life is. Like to understand that God's so loving and forgiving, awesome, and we need to remember that. But he wants it to go the next step of like, okay, then pursue me and get to know me even more. So I thought that was really cool.
So note to everyone that's listening, now that Kyle is in a new role officially, he might ask you to share too. So
that's been there already. That's not just because of this, but I've had people share it before. Sometimes I just miss the connections, but.
But he might step into the more Pastor Barry role and do it the morning of.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That's the direction I'm going. Okay. Is that he might not give you time to prepare. It might just be that morning. Like, hey, I heard this story. You want to come up here and share it?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel I've been on the other side of that. So I'm like, I don't know. That might take a little while. Yeah. For those that are new to our church, Pastor Barry's done that. I'm going to say a lot of times, but it's kind of a number of times where...
Actually, it's been less recently.
Less recently, but for sure when our church was early on, like it would happen quite a lot, which I think actually in some ways is better that people don't have to think.
Yeah, they don't get too nervous or anything because they don't have time.
Yeah, so it was good. Yeah, no, so it's good to think about it a little bit, share, and have people process a little bit more. And you know, Pastor Barry's going to be jumping back into 1 John again. I always thought of 1 John as being so much more loving and, like, it's so good. But then, like, even the way he describes the love parts, it's like, oh, there's some like, harshness or directness to it, mm-hmm. I would say. So I'm like, but it's actually really good. It's different than I was remembering. But before we get to that, we had last week's message that you led. So... we're going to next week probably talk about Pastor Barry's 1 John chapter 3, but this week you had a multi-gen service and anyone can cook.
Yep, anyone can cook.
Talking about Lazarus. So is there anything that you had either left out or wanted to go deeper on?
All right, well, thanks for putting the left out part at the beginning.
As I said that, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have worded it that way.
So yes... okay, so we tried a few different things for this this multi-gen. We front-loaded the worship, which was a little bit of a not too last-minute call, but we kind of were thinking about different ways to do it, and we thought, oh, maybe this is an opportunity for us to see if it would mm-hmm. work on a multi-gen, because I don't think we've done it like that since we've changed the format of multi-gen.
I don't think so.
I think we've kind of gone more standard mm-hmm. worship set. So we tried to front-load the worship, and... things were a little different throughout the whole time, and I don't know what happened, but I was thrown off a little bit too during the message. So, yes, I forgot. We were talking about Lazarus, right? And Lazarus was Jesus's friend who he allowed to pass away, and then he raised him from the dead. And I forgot to finish the story. So on Sunday morning, I forgot to get to the part where Jesus actually told them to roll the stone away from the tomb and call him out of the tomb, and he was alive. I forgot that part. And afterwards, I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't finish this story. But, so I think with all the different moving parts and things like that, it just, because it was in my notes and I had a slide for it, I just didn't go there. So, yeah, I don't know what happened. But, yeah, so maybe you didn't even notice it, but afterwards, I was like, oh, shoot.
And no, that's the thing. I think it was okay, because I don't think the way you did it, that it had to have the conclusion. So it wasn't like necessarily storytelling. And I think maybe because so many people know how it ends that it wasn't like a cliffhanger. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think I kind of set it up that it was about him bringing him back to life,
yeah,
too.
Right.
So there was the setup, but like the climax wasn't there. So I just thought it was funny. And
some insider baseball. So now you get to hear a little bit of what happens when we're prepping, when we're in the middle, what goes through our mind and what happens. So,
yeah. And it is funny though, too, because I did mention that to a couple people and they were like, I didn't even notice. Yeah. So
yeah,
I guess it wasn't that a big of a deal that I didn't go there. Yeah. But yeah. So this one, you know, just with like any multi-gen, I love that our church has this as a focus where we're trying to walk together as a multi-generational family. And, you know, that is a strong value for our church. Mm-hmm. And to see, you know, this Sunday we had as old as Ben Watada, mm-hmm. and we had as young as, you know, Zach and the little babies, mm-hmm. right? And so to have everybody being able to worship together, to sit through a message together, you know, that just really touches me in a way that it's hard to express because, you know, I've shared this on the podcast. I've shared this on Sunday morning, just like to be a part of a family who has a spiritual legacy and to, you know, my grandfather was the pastor at Gardena Valley Baptist and, you know, to be a part of that. And so that's a value for me, but to be a part of a church that values that in a similar way, it's like that's, yeah, it's just awesome to me. And so I really appreciate that we have this opportunity once a month to be able to all come together from the littlest of babies to the oldest of grandparents and be able to come together in one service. It's just really special. So for me, yeah, I just really appreciate that we have that opportunity.
Yeah, and I actually heard from a first-time attender at Catalyst that came this last Sunday. It was an adult, maybe, I don't know, 20, I don't even want to guess, but an adult, not like a high school or college age. And the person said, yeah, this was a different type of service. So they recognize that it's not like, oh, this doesn't feel like a normal church service. So recognize, and recognized why. But then the comment was, but I still got something out of it for myself. Mm. So recognizing that it wasn't necessarily tailored for the adult, but yet realizing that, oh, but there's stuff there for me. So I thought, oh, that's good. That's kind of what we want. It's not, we're trying to engage the kids and keep it, keep them, or feed them as well, and even just expose them to what church services are like and church life is like. But recognizing that, but there's messages in there for the adults. So it's not just like we just check out and be like, there's nothing. So, I mean, to come to Jesus as like a child, like that's that's the best part. Like sometimes we need to actually thin it out a little bit and just keep it real simple and be like, oh yeah, I needed to hear that simple message.
Yeah. And I think that's a comment that I've heard in the past too, from some of the adults, is that, you know, sometimes church can get heavy and and heady.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes hearing a simple message or something that's the kids can get something from, it actually helps them to put the pieces together. And it's like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Oh, okay. I get it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we do try to do that. And, you know, I appreciate the freedom that, you know, Pastor Barry and Kyle have given to me to be able to lead that service and include my family and giving them opportunities to participate, include other people. Like, I'm excited because Sean has agreed to join the team.
That's cool.
You know, so after the retreat, Sean had shared that one of the highlights for him was the multi-generational guys' night out that we were able to go, and him just being able to get to know some of the older guys that he had never been able to interact with before, and seeing like, oh wow, there are some pretty cool people in our church. And I approached him after that just to see if he'd be open to joining the team for multi-gen, and he said yes. So that's one of the goals that I had at the beginning of this year, was to create a team and have more people that we can work together to create the experience for multi-gen. And so, yep, it's now October and we're starting to build
the
team.
Hey, that's still within the year. No, that's cool, because he was at our house over the weekend doing something with Eli, and then we all got dinner before they went to game night. And so it was nice just having, like, just chatting with him at dinner. So then when you mentioned that on Sunday, he didn't say anything about that. But when you mentioned it, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see based on just how he was sharing, what he was sharing, that there's more of that desire or connection inside mm-hmm. him, that, and that's a good avenue for him to explore that. So that's cool.
Yeah. So he was able to participate in the message on Sunday. Yeah. I put him to work.
Yeah, that's good.
By making him do a bunch of squats. But no, I'm really excited for this opportunity to work with Sean and to have him, you know, his voice be heard now that he's graduated from Magnetic and he's part of the adult congregation to, you know, I've heard some great things about how he was on the Japan missions trip and how he's interacting with the kids and being able to participate in those ways too. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a good avenue for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, Sean, I don't know if you're listening to the podcast, but I got high expectations for what's going to come from our working together. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's good. No, I'm excited. I think there'll be a lot of fruit coming out of that.
Yeah, so I mean, with the Lazarus story, you know, it is multi-gen. So it's not like we want to dive so deep into all of the different angles of the Lazarus story. But I mean, there's so many different things you could talk about in that story.
Is there one thing that you didn't that you thought would be good to bring up? Or?
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really highlighted to me about that story, and it's really highlighted actually in The Chosen as well. Mm. The episode that they cover that is the reaction of Mary and Martha, mm-hmm. right? Because in both cases, they approach Jesus when he comes to visit and say, you know, Lord, well, kind of, why did you take so long? Mm-hmm. You know, we sent word to you when he was sick. We wanted you to come so you could heal him, right? And so they were sharing their heart for what they would like to see happen. But then kind of the way that they would close it was, but whatever your will is, let that be done, right? So it's like they shared with him their heart, their care, what they wanted. But then at the same time, they were like, but we need to come into alignment with what your will is and what you're trying to do. And so I thought, okay, this is really good. But at the same time, how do you share this with kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
But I do feel like that's something that in some ways or other, it's very against the worldly system, whether it's even like the Christian worldly system or like the worldly system, right? So in the Christian worldly system, sometimes it's hard for us to share what we really want, right? It's like, or how we're really feeling. It's like, oh, just God's will be done, right? Like, let God do, you know, and sometimes that could just be easy just to say, but then we never have that kind of freedom to share what we really feel, or it's like, right? But on the other side, it's like, no, I'm just only going to talk about what I want. This is only what I want. And who cares what God wants? This is what I want, right? So it's cool because in that setting, there's showing the kind of the tension mm-hmm. between the two and being able to say, like, we can mm-hmm. come to God with how we really feel. We don't just have to accept the situation the way it is. We can share with him mm-hmm. our heart and what's really going on inside of us. But then we also recognize, but we need to lay that down too. And we need to say, God, we don't know what's going on. This is how we feel. And we want to come into alignment with what your will is. Mm-hmm. So I thought mm-hmm. in that setting with both of the sisters, it was a cool aspect of how they responded to the situation when Jesus showed up.
It's interesting because that was my devotion this morning, because we're doing the emotional healthy relationship, the devotion book in the week after you go through the lesson. It's kind of ones on that topic. And last week was explore the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So like your feelings, like what's underneath the surface and what are your emotions. And the devotion today was actually about that, like that God gave us our emotions for a reason, and they're not supposed to be like separated. They're supposed to be part of how we interact with them. We're not supposed to be led and driven by those, mm-hmm. but they're supposed to be valid parts where sometimes, yeah, like you said, well, just whatever the Lord, whatever your will be done, like I'm going to not even think about my emotions. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they express their emotions, yet they balanced it with knowing that, but you're sovereign and mm-hmm. your will be done. But they still were like owning their feelings were real. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, that devotion was just in line with that. So yeah, it is a harder concept to get across to kids, but no, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And, And so, you know, I feel like that's an area of like, with that, for lack of better words, like integrity, right? It's being able to share the wholeness of ourselves like with the Lord.
Honestly,
and being, yeah, being honest. Like this situation really affects me.
Right.
Like I'm not just going to, I mean, part of the reason that they talk about the iceberg in emotionally healthy is because it's easy for us just to shove it, right? And keep it beneath the surface, not let anyone know. And then at times not even let God know, like, this is how I'm really feeling.
Right.
And so we just kind of shove it, but it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so to live in integrity, it's like our words and our actions and our feelings, it's all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when we're able to come to the Lord with our whole self, this is how I really feel.
Mm-hmm.
But then lay that whole self down to his will too.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we're interacting from a place of wholeness, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that they modeled in that that setting.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just kind of the wholeness that the Lord wants for us. And then we see what happens after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that the Lord's plan was that he's glorified, right? And Lazarus was raised from the dead. So I thought that was a cool interaction that they were able to model that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay for us to come to the Lord and say, I don't get it. Why did this happen? This hurts me. I'm upset. And bring that to the Lord too.
Okay. So now I'm like, I need to go back and watch that episode of The Chosen. Cause I do remember the way I remember them dealing with it, but I'm like, oh, I want to hone in on the emotion like that they portray. So if you're a Chosen watcher, or if you're not, try to find that episode or find that scene at least and do that to try to help connect with what Damon was sharing here, but that how that ties in with what he was sharing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that episode was season 4, probably episode 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was towards the end, I remember. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I want to go back actually and watch some of the, I like season 3 on, but we finished up season, was it 5?
This last one was season 5.
Yeah, we finally finished that recently, the last couple. But it's like, oh man, it's getting to the good stuff. But the way they're developing it
depends on what you define as good stuff.
Well, the climactic, but the hard part is that it just takes years to get to the next season. So that's why it's like, you know where it's going. So you know where the story
is.
So you know the good stuff that's coming, but the brutal stuff that's in the in between. Come on, man. You know what I mean?
It's like when we talk about Good Friday, right? It's like, it's good, but is it, it's
okay.
Hard.
So I would say, I guess maybe part of why I say it that way is because it's the good stuff of like, I want to understand even like that Passion Week more fully where as you watch season 5, it's like, oh, I understand the turning of the tables better now. I have a better feel for what that was like or what he was like, what Jesus was feeling. And I know it's a creative and adaptation type of thing, but it's still following the true storyline. But it's, for me, it helps. Maybe I'm not as imaginative. So to me, that's why it's the good stuff of like, I want more depth of what that hard stuff was like, because I think that helps me really feel it a lot more than rather than just to think it and understand it with my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, just we are so far away contextually from the biblical time.
Right, right.
That sometimes, reading the Bible, it's hard to make connections because it's so different.
Right, right.
Right. So when we're able to watch it on The Chosen, it brings a different flavor because we're actually seeing what it might have been like at that time and how disconnected we are nowadays from what it was actually like back then.
For sure.
Yeah. So because even when they were doing the Passover meal,
right,
the Last Supper, it's like, oh, this is not how I was thinking it would go. Because we don't do Seder meal in a Christian tradition,
right?
Or as a Christian tradition, right? That's a very Jewish meal, but to see the connections and see the ways that it connected to what Jesus was doing, it's like, oh, this is takes it to a different level, right?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like on this episode we've been kind of all over the place.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't record for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever it's been. So it's good though. I mean, I like that we have this format. It does feel a lot better for me. You probably echo this when we have a third voice. It helps the conversation have more fullness. So we do want more voices. But I mean, in the meantime, I still think it's valuable that we're able to bring in different stuff for people to wrestle with on the sermons and bring in mm-hmm. different insights, whether it's our own personal insights or just, you know, giving different perspectives. Because I want our people, our church family, and just even friends to be able to wrestle with things beyond Sunday morning.
Yeah, and I do really appreciate that it gives us an opportunity to dive deeper into the sermon because, mm-hmm. you know, really on a Sunday morning, we get 30 to 35 minutes yeah. to share a thought or right. share what we're getting from the biblical passage that we're going through. And that's not really a lot of time to interact with it. So
it's not really.
So this is an opportunity for us to go a little bit deeper to maybe look at it from a different angle or things like that. And so, yeah, we're going to keep going, even though Brett might not be on for a while. Actually, he might be on next week, actually, though, because he said after our next staff meeting, he's going to try to stick
nice.
Around. So,
good.
So we might get Brett back next week. Hopefully, we will good. Get Brett back next week.
Good. All right.
But until then, you know, we are excited that we are back on because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we do, like we said at the beginning, we would love to have more voices. So if you have some availability or you just want something that you want to talk about or share, we'd love to have you on. So reach out to either Kyle or myself.
And as a disclaimer, I don't think there's been anyone that's come on for their first time and said, oh, that was super hard. They all say at the end, oh, that was actually a lot easier than I thought. So it's not hard. It's just having a talk, a conversation.
Yeah, we're not trying to grill people yeah. on here. And the more people that we have on, the easier the conversation gets because then you don't have to fill the time either. So we're just so thankful that everyone's healthy this week and we're able yeah. to record. And we're thankful for all the listeners out there that you guys have been patiently waiting for this episode. So hopefully next week we will be back on regular schedule and have some familiar voices with hopefully Brett coming back next week.
Maybe we'll talk about the Dodgers or something. They've been doing good, so maybe we can bring in a little flavor of just, anyways.
Well, hopefully they keep doing good.
Maybe I just jinxed. Maybe I just chick-herned them, though. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, that's about it for this
episode. I just said that because I saw your shirt across, and you're wearing a Dodger shirt. I know they play tonight, so I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe next week we can talk a little Dodgers to open up the thing.
Well, hopefully there will be something for us to talk about in a good way.
Yes.
But until then, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.